New media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite and assist fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. And now, the captain and commander of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer.
Greetings, people of tomorrow. New time, new place, same us. I am sitting alongside, don't you guys worry, Kevin Undergaro right now.
More woke than ever.
Oh, yes,
still
we are.
Woke and more woke than ever, Stefan.
Woke as a joke who is broke on a poke?
Is that what they say?
Nope, I'm just
Woke as a joke.
Woke as a joke? I should have stopped while I was ahead.
Because I've started dope woke.
Dope woke is good.
Dope woke is totally crisp.
I have to tell you, though, Kev, I feel like dope is on its way out.
But being dope woke is totally crisp.
Dope woke is so crisp. And
it's
the
crisp.
Crispiest of the crisps in the house right now. Steph Sabra.
Hello.
You didn't know.
Didn't know what camera I was for in our new ship.
Also didn't know I was going to you because crispy. I don't even know. We're still working it out.
Yeah. I was like, am I the crisp one in this
You're
ship?
Crisp.
Yeah, you're...
Oh, my God, Stefan.
Don't doubt yourself.
Oh, my God, because you're woke, you're transitioning. Like, you're like, way crisp.
Transitioning into being crisp,
yeah.
Maybe. Now you... Oh,
so
I'm so jealous
crisp.
Of that. I still can't...
Do the Spock symbol?
It doesn't quite... I try. It feels like I'm going to break my hand every time
so
I try.
Weird.
Now, in this this new altered reality that your generation's been so wonderful to create for us and that Gen Z is now nurturing along for you guys.
You're welcome.
Where does a born-again Christian fit in? Can I lay this out first and then I will ask the question?
Yes.
So I feel like... On the surface, doesn't fit in the woke world. He's white. He's born again. He's
a virgin. The W in woke is not for white.
Right. Mm-mm. However, because we are, is it possible that we're so woke and we're so accepting of everyone that Michael Klaus, being born again and a virgin, is in fact... As woke, if maybe if not more so woke, in according to your generation, your thoughts.
I think let's start by asking our very own Michael Klaus.
Man, am I woke?
Well, I don't think Mike can say
I don't
he's
know if
woke.
I don't,
it's
I
up think to it, you. Listen, Mike. Let me handle this. You guys are the ultimate judge, juries, and executioners, which I love. You guys are the ones who decide what is funny, what is not funny. What is appropriate? What is not appropriate? Who should work? Who should not work? Etc.
Okay.
Like, who should have their career cut off, their lifeline cut off? This is why I love you guys. So I need you guys to decide, is Mike woke or...
A joke.
Do we destroy him? No, because it's not a joke because I don't see you guys laughing much about anything. So it's definitely not a joke. To me, it's either, is he woke or do we destroy him?
Well, we need something a little more catchy than that. Like woker something.
Broke.
Broke. Okay. Woke or broke. Well, we'll put it to the chat, by the way, guys, in case you didn't know. We are live on the Not Sam YouTube page every single Wednesday at 5 Pacific now. It's 5 Pacific time that we will be here every single Wednesday. And right now we have some thoughts in here, Kevin, about Michael. So
okay.
we will see what Matthew Gold says. He just says that Michael's deep in thought about this. I don't think somebody who's woke is deep in thought about if they're woke or not. They probably would know.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Mike. Listen, Mike would want, like most people like Mike, want to say, I'm woke, leave me alone. So you can't go to him.
Okay.
We have to go to the victims.
Mr.
We have to ask the room of victims, Mike.
Well, we don't know these people online.
Roxy,
can be victims
you are
too.
A victim. I know Stefan is a total victim.
100%.
Garth says Michael isn't woke because he loves Chick-fil-A. So.
You can't be woke and like
yeah,
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no, you can't.
So, Brandy says he's woke if I'm woke. I don't know, Brandy. You seem a little more woke than Michael to me.
Brandy and I are on the same team.
I actually don't know. I don't really see put Brandy in you guys' class.
Who's you guys?
You know, this wonderful generation we have that's enlightened so many of, at least my generation. You guys have taught me a work ethic that I never had before. You taught me, you know, what's funny. Because I thought, you know, things like South Park were funny. I thought...
Steph Sabra hosted the South Park After Show here.
I know, but that's why Steph is a question mark. We've had this talk off air about Stefan that I... Whatever.
He really
I think part... Listen, Steph's a cool chick, thinks everything's funny, is actually laid back and a live and let live person. But she's... You've been thrust into this world where, you know, she's forced to like, okay, am I going to be, you know, team woke or am I going to be just what I was? So she has to be woke because everyone's making everyone pick. Who's being allowed to be anybody, Rox?
Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody.
Everyone's
and allowed
to be anybody. Yeah, as long as you, what? Don't. Do this, don't do that,
Puthi?
Don't offend.
Oh.
Puthi is amazing.
Personally,
I didn't understand what the fill in the blank was there, so I just said Puthi.
Good instinct.
Personally,
I feel a little triggered to you saying that I'm not woke.
Well, you should be.
I have not said that you weren't woke.
It's just, Mikey, the problem is we had the 2000 year run like the Pats, so no one is going to feel sorry.
I mean, I think the Pats are still going, though.
Derek wants to know who wrote the woke rule book. I feel like we're writing it as we go.
Yeah, well, that's what's great. The rules change every
day. Mr. Hideous says if we say woke three more times, we'll conjure Candyman. We should try it.
We never want a civil war.
Mm.
I'll tell you why you guys don't want a civil war.
Okay, tell us.
You're going to lose. I'm not putting my money. If you have to go Trump supporters versus Anfisa, what are they? Right?
No, because we have science.
Antifa.
We can fuck some shit up with science.
I'll mess your shit up with science. I just think...
You're right.
It would be... No, here's the thing. It would be cybercrime.
Yeah, yeah.
Cyber terrorism, you guys would be good at. But I don't think a cement milkshake is going to be any match for Michael and his boys and their AK-47s and their bats.
Good luck.
I don't think the... it was funny. Rox, did you hear how the Boston police handled the...
straight parade?
The straight parade.
I heard a lot about the straight parade, but was there something specific?
Okay, because you know I have friends who are Boston police. So it was just funny because what are they called? Antifa?
Yeah.
So Anfisa, I call them, my God, from 90 Day Fiancé. So the Antifa came up and did their usual stuff. And, you know, in other cities, they would they would have their way. They could punch people and throw things at people, and everyone's going to let them get there. Like the Boston cops, just being the stormtroopers they are, they just drove up to them, surrounded them, and cranked the sirens as loud as they could.
That's awesome.
Were like holding their ears, like, ah! Like, no, go ahead, protest all you want.
That's funny.
That's Boston.
Oh, to the protesters or to the
to the end. Tifa
okay.
It was just like, no.
Do you look so upset by this?
No, I'm trying to. At first, I was like, did he do it? Did they do it to the Pride Parade people?
No, because they're like, here's the Boston, and I will tell you this because my friend's policeman and my brother's also a policeman. I will tell you how a typical cop is. If they can be into justice, a good cop will be. But there's one thing that would trump being into justice. That's just being able to sit in their car and sleep or go get donuts or look at hot girls. And if it's the girls, look at hot guys. Sorry. And so they were just as against the parade because, other than, okay, we're going to get some overtime and we're going to get details, but then don't upset us at all. Okay, fine. I'll show up again. But they were like, this is ridiculous. You know, they knew like it was ridiculous. It was just a job for them. But they're like, okay, but you're not actually expecting us to work. And break up fights. And no, we're not doing that. So we're just going to just snuff you guys out, right? Let these dummies march down the street. And you guys aren't going to get a say. They're going to march just like you dummies do your marches. And that's it. It's just, again, a small city can do that. But it's the way they handle the Boston bombers, too. Like, that's just Boston. Yeah. Well, it's just like, we'll just do things our way.
Speaking of Boston, we have a lot that we're going to go over today,
Kev.
No, why are you sorry?
I'm
doing a tease. Your thing. I'm segueing it into a tease.
See what I did?
Oh, yeah. It's even smoother when I announce what I'm doing. So we're going to be talking a lot about Boston and what's going on with our new AB, man. I'm very nervous about that story. Oh, the, I know. You guys being Antonio
woke,
Brown.
You have to be so conflicted, Rox, because you're a Patriots fan, but you're woke. So.
I am woke. I am woke, and this is no joke. So we will definitely talk about that.
Used to the Pats breaking the rules, but this might be too far.
Yeah, yeah. It's different when we're not talking about football anymore. So
we're talking about...
Yeah, we are talking about pussy. And we also are going to be talking about why marriage is on the decline and what's being blamed, because I thought that was a fascinating little bit that Michael can tell us all about. Also, Apple, their TV that's trying to compete with all of the other new streaming devices. Apple Plus is going...
And the Apple Card that came out. And just a plug for Sam on the Not Sam Network for Sam's Friday show. He goes really deep on the Apple Card and the ridiculousness of it. And then today, on Jim and Sam, he hosted alone because Jim's on the road. And it was fascinating how deep he went into the... He's, like, obsessed with Apple.
So we'll be talking all about Apple stuff as well. And also to our amazing producer right now, Ryan Nilsson, who I saw is playing around with a four-way split screen for all of us now that we're in this new studio at AfterBuzz
TV.
That's
right.
Which is pretty cool. Ryan, thanks for joining us aboard the ship today.
Thank you so much, and peace and prosper. I can do the finger
thing. Oh, no. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. Peace and prosper.
It's the millennial one?
Well, he's a Star Wars fan.
May the Force be with you.
Yeah, always. He's a Star Wars fan. Yeah, but the Force can be with you while you live long and prosper.
So True. We've got our new studio, new time.
Yeah, and same us.
And I'm wearing security guard red.
Yeah, what happened?
I demoted myself. I decided to.
How come?
Security guard red.
No, you know what? I realized that I had to bring myself down a few more pegs in life, so...
Because life isn't knocking you down enough, Kev?
We took this. We lost our studio, so you know we made lemonade. We're over here now, which is great.
We did not lose our studio.
The new Dope Woke studio just is not. Look at the look from Stefan.
You wanted Stefan, to be here, yes. Kevin. This is an awesome studio.
It is
that
a great,
you
no, it is
built.
A great studio. It's
look
wonderful.
At this place.
But there's many more reasons for my demotion. So, as many of you know, at least many of my friends here. And Roxy, we're on a little shaky ground, our friendship.
Me and you?
Yes. Oh. And it sucks because I can't go on a streak and not talk to you for a long time because I vowed I would never do that to you again. But you know, I've been talking for 6 or 7 years about doing
this. I know. I'm not supportive.
My Christmas Starts in August podcast. So thank you, Ryan. Ryan, who is one of the producers of the Christmas Starts in August podcast. And Ryan, I'm going to be going to you in a second because I'm going to need you to talk about the show. So I bring the show up to you guys. Stefan is looking at me like she wants to just stab me, okay?
No, and then, I just am really impressed with that music cue.
Well, he knew it was coming.
No, but you were looking at me when I brought it up last week as if you were going to stab me. This is like something I want to do. So we do the show, Jeff Graham, myself, Mikey Christmas, and Ryan in the booth. You know, four guys just innocently doing their little podcast. And guess what? We put it on YouTube. We even go so far to create an AfterBuzz Christmas 24/7 channel for it. And for about 3 weeks, it had one view. So, Maria, you guys can laugh. It's okay. That's why I've demoted myself. And so Maria thought it was so funny that she went on Instagram stories and... through laughter, fought through to talk about her husband's big new endeavor and his big new show he was doing in the One View. And then,
did
you know,
get
what,
a ton of
and then
from
Ryan, you know what happened? Something short of a Christmas miracle. Just when we thought, yes, we were abandoned, we got over 500 views and 30 comments. And our own Brandy, who was Team Roxy and anti the show and anti, she went it all in. Her icy heart melted, too. And you know what? A lot of other people who've heard the podcast are saying, you know what? Why not? Why not have the spirit of giving and forgiveness and joy go longer than 3 weeks?
It's a Christmas miracle.
See?
I'm over the Christians.
It's not the Christian. Oh, wait. Whoa! Michael. Oh, wait, Michael. Okay, do you want to write Michael up for that? He threw a pen. Uh-huh. Are you offended? Oh, he threw a second pen.
He threw a second
pen. Are you feeling bullied?
How many pens do you have?
Honestly,
are you
bullied? That was the funniest comment ever, Roxy.
What?
Just
done with the Christians.
It's not a... This is...
I can't be done with them,
is non-denominational.
I'm just over them.
Our show is not a Christian show. It's a Santa show. Mm-hmm. We're just about anybody who's about the spirit.
Has Santa ever announced that he is Christian?
We're going to be coming up with bracelets, WWSD, What Would Santa Do?
Do you think Santa is Christian?
No.
Do you think so?
It was based on St. Nick, but then there's other people.
I feel like people. Santa and JC are pretty close.
No, they're so close. Jewish. You saw South Park.
Could be.
You saw South Park. And then did you see the Hebrew Hammer? Did you ever see that movie?
Mm.
Great indie film that was made.
And I don't know if I did.
He was like, he was totally friends with Santa.
Who loved Santa?
The Hebrew Hammer.
Oh.
He's a Jewish superhero.
We tried to create, Kev, I don't know if this ever came to you and your Jews. We tried to create the Hanukkah bush. It didn't catch on the same.
It didn't.
No.
No, but that's why, and then Seinfeld created the
Festivus.
For the rest of us.
And they had the, right? And they had the Festivus pole.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Speaking of polls / chat / super chats, got there. Garth McMurray said he did the Vulcan salute wrong. His thumb wasn't out. I know, but I had already called him out for not saying live long and prosper, Garth, so I wasn't going to call him out.
There you go,
yeah,
Ryan.
There we go, Ryan. Now he's got it. Don't worry, Garth. I knew we'd convert him. He's in.
Listen.
Thanks for the super chat, friend.
Thanks for the super chat.
Helping to get Sam to work.
Again, thanks for interrupting our, you know, my discussion about my Christmas show and my self-esteem that's waning, my friendship with Roxy that's on the rocks, no pun intended.
Okay, this
is not good.
Kevin,
Rox, I've waited a long time to do this show, and now we're going far enough. I'm going to say what's very exciting. We found an abandoned Christmas town called Santa Claus, Arizona. Right? And then Michael Claus.
Oh, they hated it so much they abandoned it. That's lovely.
Michael, we're going to go a little deeper on next month's or next. We're going to tape another episode next week. We're already rebranding. That's how big we are. We already realize we've already outgrown
What's
Christmas
the rebrand?
Starts. The 6 months of Christmas. Mm. Very exciting. Michael, you can
briefly tell us.
Here's another funny moment of where yesterday we're on Mike's on speaker, Marie and I are in a car. We're heading over the hill after a meeting, and Marie's like, "I need financials on this, and Mike's putting together this presentation for us. And Mike goes, "Okay, I'm on it." He's like, "I'm just to prioritize." He's like, "I'm probably gonna have to put trying to buy the abandoned Christmas town on hold, Kev, because Mike, yeah, we're making inquiries."
I just got a reply, Kev, from I messaged someone who had done a bunch of work in the town, and I said, "Hey, this email may come as random, but just inquiring as to how one would purchase the town of Santa Claus." And she says, "I would contact this Chamber of Commerce. Here's how you can get in touch with them." So. Making waves.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to be clear, like abundantly clear.
And you're going
to
be co-owning it with me, Rox, whether you like it or not.
To be abundantly clear about my hatred of this, I want to say that I don't know whether I feel more uncomfortable about this or when we became pen pals with the Tex Watson.
So that's where I'm at right now. After Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, the character of Tex Watson, I wrote the real Tex Watson, and he didn't write me back this time.
Whoa. He probably was getting a lot of letters.
Probably right. So maybe I got traded out for new friends.
That seems like his kind of MO, Kev.
Yeah, but do you think people are writing to be his friend, or you think people are?
Maybe.
Do you think he's a Christmas fan?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh yeah, duh. Yeah, yeah. But he's probably Old Testament like that. You know.
I think you're right.
New Testament. You have to be new.
I think you wrote him though before you started the podcast, so you got to update him on.
Yeah,
that.
You know. But here, okay. I don't want to switch up because I want to talk about this town, Roxy. I'm thinking, you know what, guys? There's a way to make this work.
There's no way to make this work.
Roxanne, we could imagine if we got one of these abandoned towns and we did a couple of Burning Mans every year in there and we create events there, we could actually make a sustainable town.
Or and it could be like Firefest.
And be a scam?
Mm-hmm.
If it's scamming millennials and Gen Z, I'm all about that. I think that's hilarious. I think that's hilarious. I'll give them all their money back, but I just want to see them all traipse there.
I'm over
and
the
be stuck
Christmas.
There.
I don't want to do it.
What's that, Michael?
We haven't said where we're going to be hosting VictimCon. What if we
hosted
VictimCon
in Santa Claus, Arizona? Yeah, that'll be the first victim conference.
And I'm the victim.
You're such a victim. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Of all of your cons.
I think we need a victim conference to begin it. Like, there's the conference of all the, like, head victims get mm-hmm. together. We discuss what? Policy? Stefan, what else?
What is our policy, Kev?
Well, we have to figure out for victim con, there's so much.
A lot of policy.
First of all, most of us are victims.
Yeah, well, policy one, everyone's a victim.
Right. And policy two is anyone who makes you feel like a victim has to be persecuted. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, we'll work that out.
And the policy all right, so you're not in. All right,
so let's move off the Christmas thing, Rox. Whatever.
Thank you. I don't want to anymore, what? Kevin.
Okay, but how cool would it be if we had our own town?
Yeah, sure. Come on. That's cool. Whatever. I like the suntan.
Make your inquiries.
Yep.
Listen. This I know one. We had tough
found
to win.
We had found the price the other day, but it went up.
She's morphing into Little Maria every day more and more.
No, Maria loves Christmas.
No, but would fight me tooth and nail on this.
She loves Christmas.
Yeah, she likes Christmas for the 3 weeks.
Which is a long time.
Well.
Christmas is one day. Give the Jews something.
Stop it. That's your day for Chinese food. You get. Okay, let's not get into Jew holidays, Roxanne.
We have 8 days. You guys have 6 months?
Roxy, year round? Are you kidding me?
You guys have one for everyone we have.
Oh, my God. You guys have to come
to
work.
Easter. We have Passover. Michael's out of commission every Sunday.
Okay.
This is Sunday.
He is not out of commission. You'd never want to get into the holiday trade-off. If there's any reason other than to increase your finances to become Jewish, it's the holidays. And in Hollywood, I can't tell you how much business just stops. Like, nope. High holidays. Nope. Passover. Nope. This.
I'm telling
nope,
you, the
that.
Christians
and by
have
the
as
way,
many.
Really? Name one. Easter's on a Sunday. It's on a Sunday.
So?
And Good Friday, nobody obeys it anymore. Nobody cares. Ash Wednesday, nobody cares.
Everybody cares.
It doesn't affect work. You don't get time off work.
Oh, my God.
No, you don't.
You have to request time off as a Jew.
And you get it.
And you get it if you're Christian.
And you get No, you don't. Mike, what days off do you take other than Christmas Day?
As a Christian, I never take.
And this guy's
other than
born,
Christmas
and this
Day,
guy's
you guys.
Born,
take...
Oh, great line! As a Christian, I never take a day off.
You guys get 2 months. I mean, 2 weeks at the
Stefan
end of the year
is
for
so
Christmas.
Bored.
You
She's
take
on,
2 weeks.
What do you mean? Do we take 2 weeks?
Every business shuts down for Christmas for 2 weeks.
2 weeks? What businesses are you talking about?
Hours after bus.
Okay, but that's a cultural thing. That's not a religious thing.
Yeah, but that's a Christian cultural thing.
That's a cultural thing. It's not. And by the way, the Jews get that same day off. I don't get off the high holidays.
Kevin, if you want to get off, you say, I'm taking off for Yom Kippur.
Literally every evil boss I work for would be like, go ahead and see what's going to happen to you.
Well, I'm not talking about
your evil
bosses.
And by the way, they know probably because they know they can bully the guy. Like, they could bully.
I have
guy
not
like
taken
me.
A Jewish holiday off. Ever.
You.
I'm talking about me.
I'm saying when you this all came up with as far as holidays. You guys, it's just your holidays aren't as loud. You have more holidays. And you're more respectful of your holidays, which, by the way, which is kick-ass, which is why I feel, because there's a discipline in your faith that I love. So I think it's great.
Growing up.
And the goy holiday of Christmas is what? Overeating, sloppiness, consumerism.
I actually think
we literally have like Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, which people don't even do shit for, Yom Kippur.
Yes, Gamaka is not.
That's
much.
Like it.
Oh, stop.
I would actually say that the time that we have off for AfterBuzz lines up more with Hanukkah than it does with Christmas. Christmas is one day. Hanukkah is
right.
8 days.
But it's usually in November.
No, Hanukkah.
This year it's different, but
it's
usually
December
it's end,
22nd
usually
to the
30th. It's beginning of December or end of November.
Oh, you know, Rox,
so this year randomly, for one time,
I celebrate both.
Really?
Yeah, Hanukkah is always changing, and a lot of times
always changing.
Yeah,
which is why it's
fun. Is obnoxious.
Well, y'all need
which
to
is why
get
it's
together.
Hanukkah.
We got to get it together.
Get it together.
I agree with that. The Jews should probably pick a date.
Let's
Easter.
Let's move on. You know why I've been demoted. I will continue to stay demoted. And I'll wear my red.
So how many views?
I don't know. I don't know if there will be many more views. I don't feel like doing the show anymore now.
Okay.
No.
I'm fine with that.
Yep. See? Look at that.
Dream crusher.
Ryan, what do you think of the show?
I love it.
See?
And we're going to do another one this week, right?
That's right. Under our new brand. The 6 months of Christmas. Stefan won't stop yawning. Stefan,
I know, and it's so loud.
Stefan, who are you? I was going to say you Facebooking somebody, but you don't have. But you don't. Have, you don't. You're too young for. Too old for Facebook. Too young for Facebook. So what? So who are you emailing with, Karen?
I'm not emailing right now.
Who are you texting with?
Literally no one.
No? I saw you texting on your phone.
I think she was doing Twitter.
Yeah.
Us, I don't know.
All right, what are you tweeting?
In news. Well, I was looking at if there was any more news on the Antonio Brown saga.
Is there?
I wanted to really find out before we get into it if she had, because oftentimes women will file something before, but it gets published later. So that's what I was literally trying to find out right now.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, Rox, keep going.
Okay, well, before we do get to news, Kevin, I know that we did want to mention, because it is coming to the end of the day, but it is still September 11th today, which is officially how many years?
18.
Holy shit. Did you hear me start with
yeah,
I was like 20, 12, somewhere in between?
I mean, so you guys were like
18
nine.
Years.
What was it like at 9 or 10? Did you understand what was going on?
I remember I was in fourth grade, and the announcement was made over the loudspeaker that there was an attack on the country. I think they said there's been an attack on the country.
Oh my God, how scary.
I didn't get what that meant. They said your parents will be coming to pick you up early from school because there's been an attack on the country. Because I lived in Boston, a lot of people did work in New York and whatever. They said, for those of you whose parents cannot make it here today, we've made other arrangements for you. There's a lot of parents who couldn't make it into work that day. They were traveling. Flights were all stopped, obviously. People's parents were in Europe, couldn't get back, wherever you were. And so, for some reason or another, my parents couldn't make it there that day because I think my dad was on business in New York and my mom was picking up somebody, whatever. And so, I went home with a random girl whose dad explained to me, and he didn't kind of know because he wasn't my parent, what he was allowed to say to me. You know, you don't want to tell another person's kid.
Yeah.
So, it was very, like, vague, and I knew that her mom, my dad wasn't able to get home, her mom wasn't able to get home. I didn't understand exactly why, except attack on the country. But I remember exactly where I was when I heard it.
When did it start becoming clear to you? What age? What happened?
Well, when I got home, my parents were very, very clear with me. My parents were always like, the second something
happened. Talk to you like an adult?
Yeah, always.
They do the baby talk.
Yeah, I came home and, you know, they said to me, some people want to hurt other people. This is a terrorist attack. Do you know what the word terrorist means? Do you know anything about, like, they went through all different terminology with me because I didn't know jack crap about anything.
Cutie little Roxy would be so adorable.
Well, you know now, I asked so many questions. Imagine me then.
Oh, my God.
Just was so confused.
Yeah, oh. Your little brain
and
trying to compute.
Couldn't get any of the names right, too. Like, who's Osa, like, I couldn't get his name, and, like, none of the, and they came from Newton. Two of the terrorists stayed in Newton, which is my hometown, overnight at a hotel before they left to
after
get on.
They got their hookers.
So that hotel ended up shutting down because they couldn't get business after that. But
wow.
Which was crazy. But so it was like all really close to home when we had family in New York. So a lot of like calling, checking on people. My parents were crying, or my mom was. So I just remember being kind of confused, very clear on the fact that something was wrong and that people were fighting us, but didn't really understand the difference between that and war. You know, like, so is this going to keep happening, or is that a one-time thing?
Gotcha. Stefan, do you remember anything or no?
Yeah, I remember, I knew that I didn't know what a terrorist attack was.
You
I knew that
a
lot of people
too.
Died. Yeah, knew a lot of people died. My school did something cool. We were able to do whatever form of expression we wanted. So I wrote all day. We just could sit in the park and write all day. So I was just writing poems about death. But I didn't really understand fully.
Were you sent home from school too?
No.
No,
we were in school. We were West Coast, yeah.
West
so we were
West Coast.
So you had a whole day of school.
Mm-hmm. Whole day of school. And then I was like, you Rox, I didn't understand the war at all. I didn't understand the connection.
Yeah, that was
Stefan
confusing.
Was, what, 8? You were so small.
I was in third grade? Fourth grade? You were in sixth grade?
No, I was in fourth grade, I think.
Yeah, you were second
so you
would
have been in second grade. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did you realize, like...
what it was? Yeah. Probably fifth grade.
Damn.
But even then, I still don't think I understood why we would have issues with other countries like that.
Also, I remember my parents not liking the president, and then being behind the president. And I was confused on that, too. Like, wait, so we do like him right now?
Oh, my God. You, what an annoying kid.
Yeah.
But you must have been funny, too. They probably got a kick out of you.
Probably. But also, like, figuring out what to say to me was always challenging because...
Oh, my God.
I remember I came home. I asked my parents when I was, like, six, like, what is rape? Like, came home and just said it. And they were like, what the fuck happened? Like, and I was like... I don't know. I was very like aware. I was watching a soap opera or something, and I had picked that up. So I always, what is it? What is it? I remember coming home and asking my parents what the N-word was. I was really, really young.
I remember that. Yeah, asking about.
But did they, okay? Because this is probably a thing for your dad to question your dad. But did they and Grammy too? Did they get a kick out of you?
I think sometimes, but I just never stopped, Kev. Like, I think it was probably funny for a little bit, but
did strangers then, or, like, family friends go, oh, my God, she's such a character? Because you know those kids who act like a little old man or a little old lady? That's kind of what I feel like.
Maybe, but
not old lady, but you were acting like an adult in a little person's body. And those kids always are funny.
Maybe, but I was always, like, really, really spotlight on me. You know I'm, like, doing it for the attention also. You know, every year asking for a new video camera or, like, running around and, like... being louder than everybody else, like making sure that I'm in the front, like always center of attention, couldn't let somebody else speak, had more questions, didn't care about your questions. So I don't think they got a kick out of it after a while. I think it was probably like, shut up. So.
And you're not even, you know, Jet's the oldest.
Yeah. I was middle. Look so at me, hear me, see me.
That's what I'm saying. I think he was so quiet, like they must have said the second one. I have to find out. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Talk to your dad and your grandma. All right, Mike, where were you talk about?
7th grade, I was in like a history class.
You were the veteran, so you knew what was up.
Yeah, I had actually gotten to school early that day because my mom was substitute teaching. And so I got down early to the classroom because it happened at, 8:57, 8:56. So it would have been 8 a.m. where I was in Central Time and just saw it on the TV. And then the second one happened during our class, the second tower. And, yeah, I definitely remember and knew everything that was happening.
So you were watching TV?
Yeah, we had a TV on in the class because of what was happening.
Do you remember when you saw the first one on the TV, if you thought it was a terrorist attack or an accident?
I remember I didn't see the first one happen, but I remember a lot of the coverage, and they were saying, like, what happened? Oh, a plane flew in, and obviously back then it was very much reports didn't come out immediately. You kind of vetted things before social media, before everything. So it was, here's what we know. Here's exactly what we can say. The plane flew in. You know, this is obviously the situation with the towers. This is this. And then seeing that second one, I remember it was an immediate, like, okay, this is a terrorist attack. And then following throughout the day. And I think one of the things that I enjoy, and I don't know if they did it this year, was the press secretary or the chief of staff, I think, for Bush at that time, tweets out, usually every year, someone tweets out what the schedule was, how they reacted in the White House. Talked about, at this point, we got notified. At this point, because he was in the classroom in Florida, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember vividly.
Yeah, he was in the classroom in Florida, and it talked about their perspective of, okay, we knew that it happened. I know that I have to go get him. I knew that I have to say something. Cover it in pictures. Okay, here's where we're going to go. We're supposed to go back to thought about going back to D.C., but it's like, no, can't go that. I think they went to Kentucky.
Yeah. I think they went to some random place.
And it talked about what they were learning in the air, everything that they knew, where they were spending the next couple of days, make sure that all flights are grounded, make sure, like, and it's actually very interesting of the specific timeline of how they were operating, which I found to be incredibly interesting.
You, at that time, thought it was interesting.
Not at that. I remember at that time being interesting following the news the days after, but... especially in recent years, as more people have opened up about their experiences on that day, found it interesting of how they handled it.
Did you guys know anyone?
Can I ask Ryan before we get there? Yeah. Ryan, you're Gen Z. You're the youngest. Do you have any memories of this?
Were you alive, Ryan?
I was alive, yes.
He's a baby.
I was actually... So, I don't vividly remember it. I do know for a fact my family and I were at Disneyland and they evacuated us. I don't remember...
Wow.
That's what they told me. And
how old were you?
I must have been four and a half.
So you don't remember being evacuated from Disney?
No, that's what they told me. But the one thing I always remember on 9/11, though, is I remember in like 2010s when I was in high school, my English teacher brought a fireman who was there, and he like told us the whole encounter. And that's like, that is stuck with me every year.
In like, what way?
In like the way he told the story, it just like, I'm even like feeling it now. Like he, you could just see it in his eyes. Like it will, it scarred him forever. And it was just like a really like scarring experience. And, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, like every, it, I think it's really important to like remember the day. And yeah. Also, there's a great Bruce Springsteen album about
City of Ruins and all the
The Rising. Yeah. So I mean, it's a weird tradition, but like every 9/11, I listen to that album, and I also watch United 93.
Ugh, because I feel such like a powerful film.
You know, in PA, I feel like they're the overlooked victims. Really, like everyone talks New York, DC, but you know there was another plane and it crashed, and like they prevented that target from getting hit, and it's just like a really powerful story.
Yeah, United 93 is an incredible film. Have you seen Rocky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Kev, where were you?
It's scary. I was me and I had a small apartment. I was there. She was working, covering the news. And typical Maria
Channel
was
one?
Like, yes. And Maria was like, I could get turn on the news, turn on the news. And I saw the first one go down and then live. I was talking to John Comerford, actually.
So you were in California.
Yes, and then watching the TV. And then the second one hit as we were watching it, and Maria was just immediately trying to figure out how to get to New York.
Did she go?
Yes, I think she did. I think she got out in time. No, she went eventually. They wouldn't let her go immediately, and she took she came very close to having to potentially be on one of those planes. She'll tell the story. Seth MacFarlane was, you guys, he's told the story many times, but he was late for his flight in one of those flights. Mm-hmm. It was one that went down. It's like his, literally, like his assistant gave him the wrong time, so he showed up late, and because of that bad assistant, he's alive today. Like legit,
and like that's no like exaggeration. An assistant that you keep around forever.
I mean, you know, you at least remember her, or him. And anyway, but yeah, no, and yeah, it's. I try not to think about it much because when I do, I just feel so sad for those people. You know, there's always something about when people are terrorized and they don't see it coming, you know, and they're innocent victims.
Well, also, like, the confusion that we all felt, I mean, I think it was a matter of seconds for a lot of them,
Yeah. But, and we weren't prepared.
Yeah. And, you know? But just getting up and going to work that day, like, they got up and did their job that day.
And it's just, and when you really peel, you know, and anyone rocks. You said something powerful a few weeks ago about how your life would be so much better if there was a couple of people who were not on the planet right now. And anyone who has had been affected by people who hate you or are deeply jealous of you and vicious enough to act on that hatred and jealousy, that's a fraction of, you know, what those, you know, those people did, the terrorists did that day. And, you know, they're just angry and jealous and misinformed, obviously. And, yeah, it's...
How do you think, Kevin, as a history...
It makes me very angry, to be honest. It still does. So.
As a history major, how do you think this will, in 10, 15, 20, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, how do you think that this should be taught in schools in the same way that any war or event or whatever in U.S. history is taught, or where would you categorize this?
That's Pearl Harbor for this generation. I mean, you know, and you know, you have to be honest, and our country's, listen, these are uneducated people, so you know, they don't know what good or what bad we've done for them. They only know what they're told. We've not been angels around the world, certainly, but we also haven't been the devils we've been put out to be either. And and you know, I think whoever teaches it has to be fair and know that these, you know, people, like, they're, this is all they've been brought up, is they've been brought up with hatred, their ideology. And I think if you look at other religions, you know, think of the Christians in the Crusades, they just killed so many people. Like, you know, it's kind of like, seems like with some of the Muslim some of that religion is going through right now. I you know, but
challenging to talk about, yeah.
It's it's just sad. I mean, I get it. We had one, maybe had one coming to us for going into other countries and fucking them up, like Vietnam and things like that, that we shouldn't have been. I don't know. Maybe it's karma. I don't know. But I just feel terrible.
You mean the universe, like, balancing itself?
Maybe. I don't know. But I just feel awful. I fantasize. It's like, I swear to God, I don't know. It really bothers me. Like, I honestly think if I could ever time travel, it would be to go back that day and try to stop one of them.
Did you know? Did you guys know that Mark Wahlberg was supposed to be on a flight, too?
I did read that.
Yeah, it said he was supposed to be on the American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to New York. However, he had been invited to a film festival in Toronto and decided last minute to charter a jet with his friends. And then another one I was reading was Rob Lowe said he wasn't supposed to be on the plane that morning, but he was on a flight a couple months earlier that the hijackers did a dry run on.
Rob Lowe, so I
did. He was on that flight.
That's also. There's also another actor, an older character actor, the guy who played Ty Cobb. Who's the actor? I'm sorry, I'm having a brain freeze, guy.
Ty Cobb?
Look up Cobb, the movie Cobb. The star. Not Tommy Lee Jones, I'm sorry. I'm confusing him. There's another famous actor who actually went to the FBI. He's older than Rob Lowe. He's a famous actor.
You're not talking about Steve Buscemi.
Nope.
Okay, because no,
he is a young
Tommy Lee Jones.
No, it's not Tommy Lee Jones. I'm mixing up Tommy Lee Jones. It's
where have you been?
I'm trying.
He was in it though.
No, I know that. It's not from Cobb. It's he did the last season of Dice. He was a guest player on Dice. If you look it up, he's a pretty famous guy. Look that up.
What happened?
He was on a flight. And he saw all these foreigners communicating and being shady and up to no good, and he went to the FBI. He said, I don't know what it is.
And it was them?
Yes. They're up to something. They're doing something. They're practicing something, and it's not good. I just know it. I know it in my heart. And he always tells a story. Like, he'll tell us. He's pretty open about it.
Turnbuckle says it was John Goodman. Is that who it was?
No.
Oh.
Nope. Not John Goodman.
Okay.
I'll remember.
Kevin, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I don't know how you feel about these things in general. Obviously, there's been tons of them about any incident that's ever taken place, from walking on the moon to this to everything else. Conspiracy at all?
No.
You think not at all?
No. And, you know, it's funny because for years the conspiracy was, go back to Pearl Harbor, was that Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew we were going to get bombed by the Japanese, and he allowed it so the United States would finally wake up and go to war. Because we dragged our feet. You know that, right? We didn't enter the war to a year or two into the war. And Roosevelt knew we needed to fight the war, but no one wanted to do it because they had had enough after World War I. But I talked to people who knew him, FDR, and I recently talked to somebody who knew him. And they all said the same thing, that he was heartbroken by the war. He was heartbroken by Pearl Harbor, and they're like, no, he didn't know. And I think that you know, think about.
I'm not even specifically talking about with Bush. So, I just mean any.
No. So I'm just saying. So what my point is that I think a lot of times we want to go there. It's sexy or whatever. Now, did things go down in ways that they haven't been upfront with us about? Probably. You know, like there's, like, more than likely the military shot down United 93. It wasn't the people that brought the plane down. Because even if you listen to the black box, the hijackers are like, they're coming. And they led you to believe it's the people coming to charge the thing. I'm pretty sure they got shot down, Roxy, by the military went out and shot them down. No one wants to know that. And there's probably, and if the basements were blown up, like some people think, then it
was... Are you talking about Pentagon? Are you talking about the towers?
I'm talking about the towers.
Okay.
You know, then that very well could have happened. You know, but again, the government, for whatever reason, doesn't want us to know that, and because of whatever, like, can of worms that would open. But, you know, it's funny. Rob Lowe, of all people, go back to Rob Lowe. He said something. Maria interviewed him on Conversations with Maria, and he was talking about the Kennedy assassination, and he had just done a movie about it. And he just said, it's really hard. Think about how hard it is to keep a secret. Just think how tough it is to really get everybody to fall in line. It's hard, Roxy. It's really hard.
Sometimes.
I think it's James Woods.
James Woods was the one, yeah. So I don't know. I don't buy into it. I don't, because I'll tell you something about Bush. Was he a good leader? No. Was he smart? No. Was he evil? No. I think he was just...
Agree.
And I think, and you know, and it's funny, when you go talk about leadership, I knew we were fucked when... We'll go back and watch that tape of when they whisper to him. And his eyes, he was just lost. He was like, oh my God, where's my dad? What the fuck do I do? Like, I know, if I think of, like, I'll take myself out of it, I think of, like, a John Taffer. I think of, like, the guys that I know who are, like, leaders, the guys I know in business, Andrew Lee, somebody. They would have been like, all right, let's go. Like, it was like he was up in the
really?
Plane. Oh, he didn't know what to do. Like,
see,
they were flying back. I mean, he's going to say it now, but look at his face. He was just, he didn't know what to do. He was just a kid who was lost. And that's why, like, even his reactionary thing of, like, well, let's just, when Cheney's like, he felt like the rest of us. Let's just kick somebody's ass. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then you have Cheney who, like, licks his chops and goes, okay, I've been studying this whole Iraq area for the last few months and all these oil fields. Let's go take it. And anyway, but I don't think that, you know, could Cheney have known something? Yeah, I think if he could, he would. That guy would. I just don't think the amount of secrets and stuff that would have to take place. I just don't, because I don't. I think there's other. I just don't think so.
Kev, I had a question, because obviously none of us are old
enough
to
think so, Roxy, but, to be honest.
But you remember the World Trade Center attack in 93. How was it experiencing 9/11?
Oh, wait.
No. But did you think back to the attack in 93?
No.
Obviously, because they had barely. Tried to take it down before?
The Timothy McVeigh, it was like, that was like a little like black
Not the
guy.
Timothy McVeigh. The terrorist attack, yeah, they did the bomb truck at the
we
base.
Never,
at the
no,
did
I,
anybody
I mean, I
get injured?
I believe
I'm sure
so.
There
I
were casualties,
the
but nothing like
yeah.
This was just so devastating. And it's just
I
would, and again, Roxy, I would hate. I understand a bunch of ignorant fucks will get on a plane because they've been brainwashed since they were childs and say, this is an evil country and you're going to have 70 virgins. Okay, I get it.
But
I just,
country.
It's just you don't even want to wrap you. Like, I just see that, any of the stuff about Cheney, and it just makes me ill. Like, this, you would be that, you'd be so dark in your heart.
So my dad.
You know, for profit. Like, I think with Bush, it was like, he thought this was for a greater good. I do believe that about him. But Cheney, it was just, how do I get in there and make myself a lot of freaking money?
My dad has dedicated, like, I can't even tell you the amount of thousands of hours into looking into 9/11.
And he thinks conspiracy. He thinks, yeah. What is, so who does he think, like, was?
It's less about who and what. It's more about where the holes are. Like, he's not pointing fingers. He's saying this is a massive hole that the government is not filling
well,
in.
Well, that's what
and
I mean. There's tons of
so,
holes.
So, like, with images.
And they don't want to fill them in.
And they're not filling them in, which he's leading to be conspiracy, because if you guys can fill this in and point the finger at terrorists, you would. So otherwise, why aren't we filling in this hole? Again, my father.
Well, I think it's
me,
like, I think it's point. It would be pointing out weaknesses in our system that they don't want to point out. Which I think
is conspiracy.
But then it's also right. It is, and I think it's also like, okay, we're going to demand more federal dollars be put toward it. It just, I think it's the same thing with the guy with Epstein who just got killed, or just killed himself. It's just easier to, you know, there's holes in there for sure, but it's just easier to not have to. You know, deal with the holes.
I remember it was maybe...
But there's tons of holes.
It was maybe like three years ago on this show, 2 or 3 years ago, where after the show, it was 9/11, and I was talking to Christian Blatt, and I was talking about some of the holes and conspiracy, and it's the only time I've ever seen him get mad at me. And he was like, not fucking around me. I'm from there. I will not hear what you have to say. It was not a conspiracy. This happened, and nobody was in on it, and stopped talking. And, like, put his... And was pissed. And I was like, okay.
I didn't know he had it in him.
Yeah, it was... Because I've never seen that. She was so upset with me in that moment. And I was like, it's so hard. I think part of the reason it's so hard to ever unveil anything in this country like that is because of exactly what you're saying, Kevin. It's so hard for any of us to wrap our brain around anything evil. Like that. And then for the people to have emotion in it as well. And I'm not my father, so I have not spent the amount of time he has. But, like, he will send me images and things that I don't know how to.
There is no way to explain them. There's tons of holes. I have so many things that upset me. And to really think that there are people go, you know what? I have a really good idea. Let's kill 3,000-4,000 people, destroy all their families permanently. Like, let's ruin the economy. Let's do all these things, and then we'll get for whatever. And I'm like, it just, I don't know. That just makes me. And again, Sam Roberts, always says this about me. He's like, Kevin, you just want to believe that the world is fair, and that's why you get frustrated. So maybe he's right. I don't know.
Have you been to
It makes me really, this is where like the Boston Italian comes on me. I just want to hit somebody.
Have you been to Ground Zero?
Yes.
You went and saw all the names and did.
Yeah.
Have you guys been?
Mm-hmm. I feel like with it, though, the thing that makes me most upset, and this is with any massive act of violence, is the only people who get completely screwed over are the civilians.
Always.
That's who's dying in the Middle East. That's who's getting all the kids, the wives, the women are getting slaughtered or were. Now it's lessened. But the men in power who do this, they don't get anything, and they just screw over more people.
Yeah, I mean, they don't get any, like, they don't get justice. They don't get retribution.
They don't. They only didn't get what they want. Osama bin Laden, they didn't get what they wanted, really. I mean, they had one day of success.
Well, he did get insane fame.
He did. And then
I know, but that's not necessarily what he wanted. And the part of me, again,
going back to the Boston Italian. He did want that. He did want that.
I think that was a huge part of it.
But then if you asked, again, it's like a lot of people, if you asked him, do you want to, do this and end up dying like a bitch? No. And because he proved it at the end. Again, this could be the American version, but from what I understand, he grabbed one of his mistresses and used her as a shield. So clearly he didn't want to, he didn't open his chest and go, come on, kill me. I don't care. I already did my job. I'll be martyred for the cause. No, he was a bitch. Like, he went out like the bitch that he was. But in their brains, I don't think they don't think it all the way through.
Yeah.
They don't think it all the way through.
Like, I think that you're right, Steph. He didn't get everything he wanted, but I think he got a lot of exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't get the ending.
He hurt this country. He got a
following.
A very, very famous man.
He inspired
now.
A lot of people.
A martyr.
But you know what? But Rox, he didn't want to die like a bitch. He didn't want to die.
But I don't think that is – clearly not, because for 10 years to run like that,
that's what I mean.
Like
he didn't
want to
die.
I don't think he wanted to die, but I think that especially with his beliefs, I don't think that was the most important thing for him.
I do, because I don't think he believed in any of it. I think it was about his fame and his stuff.
Well, that's what I think those types of people use religion as a game for followers.
They use it as a thing. But the ones that I admire, I don't admire them, but the ones it's like, okay, if they really believe that, fine. But to me, it was just...
Fucked up question for you guys. Yeah. If Osama bin Laden's alive in 2019 and somehow is somewhere that he doesn't need to be in hiding, is he on Twitter?
I think he has a Twitter account. I don't know if he's
No, he was public enemy number one. No, someone's going to get him.
So you think no?
No. No.
You don't think he'd be on social media?
I don't think he could be. I think if he could be, he would. But I don't think he could
Twitter
be.
Twitter actually might block him.
Because they'd get him.
They might block
him. Well, then again, Twitter's very woke.
I don't think they're that woke.
They might be into him.
You know what I will say as we kind of come out of this and talk about the positives? The things that I always get chills watching is the Bush video where he throws the strike in New York. What is it? Was it 2 days later, 3 days later?
Yeah.
He threw the pitch at the Yankees game. And it was like a dead strike. And it was just the entire city of New York
USA,
just
USA.
Coming together. And I've also enjoyed, especially in recent years, people have posted a lot, not about 9/11, but about 9/10 and 9/12. Talking about 9/10 saying at at this day, nobody knew what was going to happen tomorrow.
It was a different world.
They say, how many people went to bed thinking they were just going to go work next day? So talk about appreciating the day and where you are. And then also September 12th, everyone says, I never want another September 11th, but I would love to have every day be a September 12th where people put all differences aside. And it was just everyone's an American. We're all coming together. We're all feeling patriotic.
Not everyone's an American. All Americans are.
Obviously, yeah. But it had that, have that feeling of camaraderie where
everyone
you look
here,
at now.
What do you mean everyone's, everyone here is an American, right?
Well, a lot of our listeners are global. So talking about people that are not Americans. But I think the bigger message, the reason I say that is like, be a human being.
Yeah.
Be a good human. Be a good neighbor.
Right. I don't want to ruin the positives of it, but it also did increase domestic racism, though, against Americans just by the religion that
was... No, I'm talking about the real Americans.
We're talking about the real ones. Let's qualify.
But it's crazy because you remember a year later they wanted to build a mosque, and it was this massive question of whether this is okay or not. And at the time I was too young to understand.
It was very close to the thing.
I know, but it's like in hindsight...
I know, but you always have to have empathy. And I will say, if I were running PR for the American Muslims, they did not do a very good job. There was very little responsibility taken. It was the very little of like divorcing themselves from it. Like, hey, this we do not condone this. It was just kind of like, let's just sit here. And you have to understand that if you're in New York and you don't have a mother or father, I know Thea Trinidad, AfterBuzz, now Zelina Vega. Last conversation her dad had was with her, and as he was in that building, and it went down. And do you think she wants to walk by a mosque where she sees her father was going to work? I don't think so.
I don't think we've ever expected any group of people to take responsibility for the bad apple in a group.
It's not taking
responsibility. The Germans have taken massive responsibility.
Okay, that's the Germans. But I think, I don't think it's taking responsibility. It's saying that this was wrong. It's just wrong what these people did, and this is not what... This isn't what Islam is. This isn't what
I see what both of you guys are saying.
And I
agree, Kevin, that we do have to have empathy.
And I'm telling you as a PR move. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm saying
agree that we do have to have empathy, but I also feel like having empathy for people, for Islamic people, when a person who is Muslim walks by and people are thinking terrorist in their head, that's not their fault. It's the same reason that a ton of people are sick and tired of explaining themselves all the time. When you're like, wait, what the hell? I grew up here. I was born here. I was raised here. I'm not a terrorist. Why do I have to go around and say...
And I will tell you, a lot of Muslim I know, the ones I know, were hated what happened so deeply because of, like, listen, beyond the fact it's wrong, thanks, Osama, Bin Laden, you've ruined our lives.
Yeah.
Because now our lives are freaking ruined. Now it's like, we're targets. We were just here working and contributing to society. But I think that they didn't do themselves any favors. They kind of just sat quiet. At the time where they should have leaned in and said, hey, we have nothing to do with this. Like, this isn't what our religion is. Again,
Kevin, what do you actually...
It's the same PR problem, I think, with Catholic Church.
What does that actually look like? Like, one man making up a speech? Or is it
maybe
everybody being more vocal?
No. Okay, running the PR?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say whoever the loudest person is that, hey, like,
The loudest American voice.
Maybe, yeah. And it's just like, Islam, it stands for peace. And that's not what we are. That's it. And we're very sad for what happened. That's it. But everybody, they were pretty quiet. It was just quiet. Maybe they were just afraid that they were going to be attacked too by their own. Who knows? I don't know. But they didn't do themselves any favors. And I think like America was built on freedom of religion and all that other stuff. So ultimately, it was the right thing to let the mosque be built. But understand in that moment how... sensitive.
I get what you're saying. Be empathetic
to those poor people. Like, okay, just don't put it in my face. I don't want to deal with it right now. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Kevin, what is this? Because I actually don't know what this is talking about. Matthew Gold says, I always cringe watching the Hulk Hogan promo about taking down the Twin Towers, LOL. Do you know what he's talking about?
If you Matt knows with wrestling, Vince doesn't ask any of his people. He makes trips to Afghanistan like every year, and he goes himself often with the bulletproof vest or whatever, and he'll say he won't force anyone to go. It's volunteer only. Like, but he loves our military and our country so much. So when he, I don't know what Hogan did that night, but I know Vince was violent. So when he came out on Raw, he made sure he had the mic and was basically like, F you for doing this to us. And, you know, it was just what you would imagine wrestling. Wrestling is like, all that comes out of Vince's head.
I don't know if this was that night.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a promo. Maybe it was a promo before the Twin Towers were taken down.
I'm seeing a video of Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan predict 9/11 attack in 1989. Is that? It seems like they're doing...
Maybe ask Matthew.
Yeah, put a link, Matthew.
I don't think you can in the YouTube chat.
Put a title.
Anyway, I remember loving what Vince came out that night on Raw and was just like, "This is wrong," and you know, it just made us feel good, you know. But
just the whole thing changed the entire world.
That's it,
and it definitely changed America. And I still to this day, when I catch myself being bratty or crabby at the airport waiting in lines or whatever it is, and I don't want to take my shoes off and whatever, I'm just like,
yeah, no, not me.
I every time now I'm
every
just like
time.
Thank you,
that's right,
happy to take my shoes off,
yep,
happy to be searched, happy to find. And I know that a lot of people, my dad hates it, he says it's a violation of his right, whatever,
I'm with you, Rox.
Don't take my pot. That's stupid.
I'm like,
search me for whatever you want. If you need to look at my shoes, if you need to pat me, I don't
care.
Remember, I don't care.
So you brought back up Christian, so I'll bring up Xbox. So Xbox always fights me on that because I'm like you, Rox.
Search me.
And he's the other way. But you know what I say? It's usually law-abiding people that go, okay, sure, search me. Well, I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind. The problem is
probably why my dad doesn't like it.
Well, no, the problem is your dad's evolved enough to know that that power in the wrong hands gets turned on you.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it's funny, to step on a side a little bit, The Last Czar is on Netflix right now. Very interesting way of doing a docu-series. I've never seen this before, where it's very well done, scripted, but cutting to historians and professors telling you what's really going on. So it's not like reenactments that are cheesy and bad. No, it's just a really high quality series, BBC. So it's kind of interesting. But you know, the czars had all this power and the people had nothing. They were starving, they were dying. And so Lenin came in, and I think, you know, he knew how to play politics and he knew how to do it. But I feel like deep in his heart somewhere it was truly about getting the workers power because they had nothing. And it was this 0.01% that had everything in Russia. But then the problem is, when he set up the communism, then a guy like Stalin, a bad person, slides into a system like that, and it's on. It's like a cult. Like we were bringing it back to Christmas. Jeff Graham said to me today, he's like, when are we just going to start the cult, the Christmas cult? I go, here's the problem with cults. I say, even if the ones with best intentions, it's just that it's bad people get in and go, ooh, and they lick their chops. Like the Bhagwan. Which, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That, right? The wild country.
Yes. Oh. It was like, he supposedly, from people who knew him, said he was amazing and enlightened, had all these like great lessons and all these like wonderful people. But then like the dark lady, the Maria Menounos came in and just ran the show and kicked, and then, you know, took it to the next level. So it's like, some of the things I think start out with good intentions, but when they get in the hands of bad people... That's why. But for me, I'm with you, Rox. Nope. Do whatever you have to do to make sure that this never happens again.
Yeah. And you feel like they really have.
They have. I mean, listen, all we can do is what, Rox? What do I always say?
Anticipate.
And slow them down.
And slow them down.
That's all you can do.
I always make the joke when I'm going to the airport, when they have you take your shoes off, because we caught the shoe bomber. He was not successful, and now we all have to take our shoes off. So they actually calculated out like how long every person taking their shoes off, whatever, and how many years that we've all spent. And it's like, that's killed more people than the shoe bomber actually killed.
Probably.
Because the shoe bomber was unsuccessful. We caught him.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, I do feel like as technology grows, like You know, if you guys could make us not take our shoes off at some point, that's chill. But if we got to take our shoes off, then we got to take
them
off.
I'll take it off. Yeah, I would be totally crisped. You know, I'd have to take the shoes off.
It'd be woke crisp. Don't woke crisp.
I like woke crisp.
Thank you. Should we get to some news, Kev?
Yeah.
We got a lot.
I'm sad and I'm angry.
Well, angry Kev is...
We get to talk about some Patriots.
No, you don't want me angry.
Oh, God. This is a sad angry, too.
Then I'm not evolved.
Oh, no. I'm nervous about this story, Michael. Part of it is okay, and then part of it's so not.
I mean, this is just an entirely crazy saga, and I think we don't use the term saga a lot, but I feel like this is a saga. If you guys are just kind of finding out what we're talking about Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown is perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL. He also might be the biggest baby in the NFL. And over the last several months, he's had this saga of he was playing on the Pittsburgh Steelers, said he no longer wanted to do that, had issues with the coach there, forced his way out, got a trade to the Raiders. Everyone thought he was going to be doing great there, signed this mass extension for playing there. Ended up that he burned his feet because he went in some cryotherapy when he wasn't wearing shoes, had that saga, complained about his helmet, that there was some issue that they wouldn't let him use, forced his way out via social media of that contract and out of that team, and then signed with the Patriots, and everyone says, oh, okay, maybe we're all done. And then just here in the last couple days, a former trainer has accused him of sexual assault on three different times, and now we're figuring out what's going on. And I am, from a fan perspective of the NFL, I'm just blown away at everything happening. I am so into shit as Patriots fans. What your thoughts are on Antonio Brown.
Well, can you talk a little bit, Michael, though, about where we're at with the sexual assault charges?
So she just came forward the other day, and again, they are allegations, so I definitely want to stress that. It happened allegedly three different times between 2017 and 2018. It was a woman who, pains me as a Christian, they met at Bible study.
Nice. Oh,
I mean, that's awesome. Really just hurting me to the core. And so she has come forward now and said, here's what happened all three times. I think two times were at home in Florida. One time was at another time at a house and was forcible rape. He apparently masturbated and when she wasn't aware and then came onto her in the worst sense. And now we're just trying to piece everything together.
And there's these text messages, apparently.
Yes, and apparently they were communicated via text message, and so we actually have evidence.
Quote-unquote, the receipts, but we have not seen them.
No, and she is scheduled to talk to the NFL next week. I think an interesting timing of all this, she's getting married in the next couple days, so they said, oh, she has to wait until next week to talk to the NFL because she's getting married. So I don't know
It's a civil suit, right? That she's bringing, or no?
If it would be more than that because it's only 2 years old. And so the statute of limitations hasn't passed.
She did accuse him in a civil lawsuit. Yeah, you are correct. Suit.
Okay. Yeah. But I think obviously there could be criminal charges because you're well within the statute. But I find that interesting of the timing. And, of course, everyone's looking at it saying, why is she coming forward now and not when he was on the Raiders or in the Steelers? Is it because he, you know, being a baby? And someone said, oh, because his public opinion is hurt right now. And so she thinks that she is able to come forward, whereas come forward before and, oh, you're accusing this NFL star, I'm going to push you to the side. She realizes that now she might be believed. And so that's part of it. I don't know if her wedding, you're approaching your wedding and you want to just air everything out. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No idea. No idea.
Do you want him on the team?
Oh, yeah, of course. But no idea. Zero idea. I don't know. If he's guilty, then, you know, he's going to pay.
Yeah, then absolutely I don't want.
But who knows? Who knows?
Here's the truth. You guys know I do try to live by the phrase as often as possible, believe women, believe people. I try as well. I think that with athletes, it tends to be an incredibly, and people in the public light, it is a more challenging situation sometimes. Because I do think the public feels like they need a little more than somebody's word at that point. And I don't know exactly where I lie. Apparently she said that she received text messages from him, the next day saying, Fuck your knowledge, bitch. I bell all pro before I even knew you. You a disgrace to little girls. You a failed gymnast living in the past. Like, apparently just dehumanizing all that stuff.
That just shows he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I was happy to have him on my team before this because, yes, he is a baby. He's also a total rock star player.
So, Steve the Steamer says, I think it was in the works before he signed with the Patriots 3 days prior. So, Steve, do you mean the lawsuit or, you know, what the accusations were coming? Maybe the Patriots knew this was going to happen? So, interesting to see what he says.
He said, it's interesting, he said, I'd think. So, I mean, I would think that it would be in the works. I don't think he's quoting anything, just so we're...
I mean, the other thing, if it was just about money, here's the thing, here's the slippery slope. If she just wanted money, she could have just reached out and said, listen, I'm going to come forward and I'm going to fuck your shit up. I need a check. But then, maybe she thinks that she's going to be painted as an extortionist.
Yeah.
So she can't do that.
Go ahead.
I also just think of Dr. Christine Ford, and this was the question that was posed. Why now, when he's at the pinnacle of his career? And that's also an argument on the flip side. Of course now, because why would we continue to give people more power who are abuse power? But I do want to say with him, and I think with all cases, we do need to let the investigators do their job and wait for the facts before we demonize either side. And obviously, if there's an allegation, I think there's something wrong. We just don't know how far.
I agree. The question I'm never asking on any sexual assault cases ever is why now? That's never popped into my mind at any point for any sexual assault case. That question doesn't make sense to me because in any way, shape, or form, it does not make sense. It's an incredibly traumatic. They talk about memory loss, figuring out a way to express yourself, not knowing, why now? Because it takes a really long time to be ready to say something like that. Or sometimes it takes a very quick amount of time to be ready to say something like that. That question, I can't think of a single one of these cases where I've been like, why'd they say something now? That, to me, is the wrong argument. And I don't understand that. They also did state that there was a lie. It depends on where you guys feel, you feel about lie detector tests, but that she did take a lie detector test backing up the claims about both the masturbation and the rape allegations.
By the way, lie detector tests both ways are such a great scam.
You think so?
Oh, it's been proven.
What I said. It depends on how you guys feel about that.
Can I answer why now for the people who get down on people who say why now? So imagine, guy or girl, you've been a victim of something, and you've learned to live with it, right? You swallowed it. Maybe you did therapy. Maybe you just buried it inside, went on with your day. And then all of a sudden you see, the person who abused you is rewarded in some great fashion and, succeeding wildly. And then you think for a moment they get some justice because... in his case with the Steelers, and then boom, he gets his way again, because from what insiders say is he wanted out of that deal, and he was consulting people, how do I break a deal? He breaks the deal, and then in an hour, he gets another fat deal with the greatest football team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're at home and this guy did this to you, and I will tell you as a male, but I think as a human being, you go, you motherfucker. You'll never get yours. You just do whatever you want and you get away with it. You literally get away with everything. And you know what? No, I'm gonna freaking do something about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like your buttons just get pushed in that moment.
Which is another reason.
You know what? Enough. I'm gonna freaking say something now. I can't live with this anymore. I can't live with the bad guy always winning. Again, I come from that place. Like I want to think it's a just world. So in my brain, I've been there because I've seen people who've abused Maria. And see them succeed, and I go, I gotta go break this person's jaw or do something. So I see where someone would be triggered, just who's not lying, but triggered in that moment to go, okay, now's the time. Now's the time I'm gonna pay you back, you mother effer.
And I don't blame them for that, honestly.
How can you?
I am confused about his team statement, so far, we don't know.
I mean, it's really, who knows? Like, no one knows. And I think, here's a question for you, Mike. Will the NFL
suspend him? Be
reactionary? Like, in this case, in the past, NFL's been like, you're guilty, but, well, it's just wink, wink, let it slide. But... Now they're the other way around, where it's like
several factors.
You might be guilty, but it doesn't matter whether you're innocent or guilty. We have to throw the book at you.
Several factors doesn't help the fact that Goodell hates the Patriots. So he didn't play week one because timing wise it couldn't work out. He was scheduled
by a few hours, right?
Yeah, he was scheduled to play game two. If she is not talking until next week, he plays game two. You have to have some kind of communication, some kind of something officially with the
NFL. I feel like
yesterday I read that he's intending to countersue her as well.
So, yeah, he has vehemently denied it.
But this is what I was confused about, Michael. Was his statement denying that they've slept together or denying it was rape?
No, denying that it was rape.
Okay.
So that they've had a total consensual relationship.
Okay.
And I think technically all of his statements are not specifically his. They've come from Drew Rosenhaus's agent.
And you know what I feel like about the Patriots? And Steve the Steamer probably would know. And I could tell my friend Tom Karn's the number one reporter for the Patriots. I feel like the Patriots, the Crafts, have made their peace with Goodell. Because up to Deflategate, Goodell was, I mean, Kraft was a pretty good soldier for, a pretty good ally, not a soldier. No, you're not going to make a billionaire into a soldier. But he was a pretty good ally. And I think because Kraft's such a good businessman, I see a Jerry Jones is more emotional. I just feel like Kraft is a shrewd businessman who goes, we're not going to win against Goodell.
Well, I think it's one of those things where they say you keep your friends close and your enemies close.
Right. Because, think about how he's voted. He's usually voted with Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that won't be his factor. I think the factor is we are in a woke time. We're in the time of Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
Goodell has done it. We've talked about it on the show before. It seems like one of the worst guys we've ever had running, a league. He's made every wrong decision. So does he react to that and go, I'm going to slice this guy's head off no matter what?
And obviously there's
to look like
several
a good guy.
Players prior who have had situations happen where people say you're not coming down hard enough. You need to come down
Steph,
more.
You have strong opinions on this. And I know you were with an athlete for a long time, and you're an athlete too. So you kind of – I remember you had strong opinions about the NFL. What do you
also
think?
You
like,
come from a parent of legal people,
and then you have
too,
the legal background. Yeah. What do you do if you're Goodell? Both legally and then PR-wise, and what do you predict based on his past –
that he's not going to do anything. I think they don't want any negative PR. They'll never take a stand with women over their players, but they will with weed. I think their priorities are
still with weed or no? Do they find? Yeah, I think they finally have gotten over that. Steroids. They're
not really. They're still getting heavily punished.
Oh my god!
You don't think that he'll do anything?
I think they've launched their private investigation, which is also weary to me because they get to pick who's investigating and how deep they're going to go into it, and they're in complete control. And that means that they're controlling their PR and what the public eye is going to see of it. I think that it's just they don't want any player representing being violent towards women in any way, and they'll do anything to protect that.
But I still think they'll get suspended. They suspended the Chiefs running back last week, actually.
Michael,
last
you're
year,
saying
actually,
if he is found guilty, or you're saying
I think,
now?
I think they will suspend him for a couple weeks based on the text messages. I think that's maybe the most damning thing. Again, the lie detector test, not really sure. Depending on what the text messages say, I think you could suspend
him. Do you think they have access to all of that?
I think when she meets with the NFL, she's going to present a bunch of evidence.
Do you think...
I think that's also why she's waiting until next week.
So can we get back into PR? Can we get back into PR? So what if Goodell comes out and says... By the way, Steamer said Kraft's the reason why they didn't have a
labor
stop. So again, that's why I don't think it's going to be an anti-Patriot thing as much as it's going to be but again, this guy has ruled pretty poor. He has made very poor decisions, it seems, as a leader. But I wonder if he came out and said, listen.
Who?
Goodell comes out and says, you're innocent until proven guilty. We're gonna wait to hear what a court of law says, and we will rule accordingly based on that. How would you guys feel if he did that?
I'm okay with that. because I don't believe that we should be in the quick to cancel culture. We should look at evidence. What I'm not okay with is if they receive any, like how they handled Winston and multiple players like this. They won't make any like surefire decision that's like, we do not tolerate this at all, you're out. Like, they're always trying to baby players, and I think that they'll need undeniable, very obvious evidence for them to take any stand.
But again, can't they leave that in the hands of the law? And when the law...
But they've taken private investigation within the NFL.
Also, but that's rape is the hardest one, Kevin. Like, yeah. When you're talking about the law, this isn't a murder where they're either dead or not.
I know, so what do you do?
I don't know the answer.
I think that's the other thing. There haven't been, in the past, as many cases of rape. Even with the Chiefs running back last year, I think Ezekiel Elliott was also suspended a couple games. The Chiefs running Cowboys. Back last year, who Cowboys, yeah. Well, the Chiefs running back from last year who then signed with the Browns, who was suspended the rest of the season, the Chiefs dropped him. He was on video just pushing a woman. And so this is obviously significantly worse. I don't think there's been stars of his caliber who have been facing these accusations.
It's like you guys who are like so strongly opinionated and very woke, like you don't really have an answer on this.
I don't have an answer. I don't know. On Sunday also, Kev, like, are we cheering him on? Go, Antonio! Like,
I'll be totally human with you as a Patriots fan. Hell yeah, I'm gonna cheer him on. But if he's guilty of rape, like, don't get rid of him. And like, you're the Patriots, you don't need him.
What are Maria's thoughts?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I'll find out. She's actually gonna be with. She's doing stuff with Tom next week for Tom Brady. He asked for some help with TB12, and I know they're doing something.
What's also tough though, Kevin, these things can take a really long time. We just like let him play out the season, and then when we find out, if we find out that he did do it, then we're like,
well, what would you do? I don't know. What would you do with someone else?
I think you wait and see what happens. And I mean, I guess when week 14 comes around, you just switch him out with Gronk.
Okay, here's the way. Okay, no. I think feel like this is what other businesses would do. Suspended with pay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because you can't suspend him without pay. It's not fair to punish him because we don't know if he's saying. But it's enough to say, you know what? You'll get paid, but you can't.
But if,
be part of our company until we know.
I think if an investigation has been launched, there's enough evidence to say something was wrong, whether it was rape or not. I don't know. So I go back on my decision that I think he shouldn't be playing right now until they figure out. They should just go as quickly as they can with the investigation, but still get paid.
I think so too. But an independent investigation just gets. I don't know.
Michael, what else you got for us?
Well, I'm actually sending this picture right now, which I thought sent to Ryan, but I'm including it right now. It actually is something that is making waves right now that is hilariously funny. Also from someone who faced accusations in his time, Kobe Bryant. And he's trending because he posted on his Instagram that he was the coach right now for the middle school girls team. And here was the quote. He says, "Here's our fourth place, quote, winners picture, LOL. Six of the kids in this picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh player, not in the picture, missed this game for a dance recital. So that should tell you where her focus was at the time, meaning she enjoyed dance more than ball."
I love this.
Just called out.
Great. I love it.
A junior high.
I think it's hilarious.
That person was probably like, okay.
I actually like the sentiment, but you can't mess with a seventh grader.
I think it's funny.
But you know,
he didn't tag her, right? Or like name her by name.
No, but everyone posted a picture with the team.
But everyone in the school is going to know. So you're too fragile at that age. Believe me, I'm not. You guys all need. We all need to get smacked around in life. I don't think that was right of him, but I like the sentiment of teaching. Which I always, listen. One of the reasons I coach you guys is I'm always like, hey, listen, you guys like Steph, you're a D1 athlete, so I'm like, you know, it was not easy to succeed. It was not easy to win. It was hard, and that's life. And the problem is we're not we have failed you guys in your in your lives, and so when you get out now and you have loans to pay and then you've got adversity and whatever, you got everyone's folding up. So
on Twitter is like, the memes are going nuts because it's like Kobe, like the parent of the girl, honey, you did great at your dance recital, fifth grade girl, thanks mommy. Kobe, so do you like being a quitter? This little girl.
I've just grown to really admire people that just take things, serious. Passion.
Saying you quit to go play on a playground. She had a different
priority.
She was dancing.
And like I said, I just really admire the madness. Your mind wasn't there. Like, I don't know. I remember my best coaches were these guys, these little league coaches. It was like two brothers. One was ended up being a pretty successful guy. The other one was like a drunk who'd come to the games drunk, but was really smart with baseball. And the other guy was like a single dad. And when I tell you, like, they worked us so hard as kids. I mean, like, when I went on and played sports, after that, like, nothing. These guys were crazy. I look back and they'd be like, we would win. Like, we won. I think we set a record, and we it was like that team I moved, but ended up going very, very deep into the World Series, the Little League World Series, the team that I played on. I wasn't on the team the next year because we had moved, like I said, but they were just so intense. Like, I remember, like, I think we won, like, I forget, like, something like 30 games in a row. And I only remember one or two games where they said, good game. It was always like, yes, we're lucky. Yes, we're all lucky, all of yes. And it was like, but you know what? I look back and I'm so grateful. Like, we had a run. Like, they were just sad. They were crazy. They were like, but you know what? I'm so grateful that I'm sorry. And you know what? Like, so many of the kids that played in that team ended up being really successful. In fact, two of them went on to play pro.
Really?
Yeah. In hockey. Three, actually. Became professional hockey players. But I don't know. I
think it just depends what the kid and the parents are trying to get out of it for their kid.
I guess because if it was my kid, they'd be coming home to me. I'd be pretty cool that Kobe Bryant called you out.
Yeah.
And I'd say, but remember the message. You know what? He's right about that.
All press
but
is
now,
good press.
But now apply that to dance.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean,
no, he's
hopefully
not wrong.
There's somebody who can educate the kid. I just think that's something for the rest. I'd be like, honey, we're going to be laughing in 10 years. Like, this is going to be amazing. You literally have the best bar story and family story to tell everyone the rest of your lives. But again, it all goes back to parenting, which we're not so good at anymore.
Well, speaking of parenting and maybe becoming parents, our next story touches on, as they put it, the, quote, economically attractiveness of men. And new study is saying that the reason that we're not having as many marriages and marriages are in decline is because of the lack of economically attractive men, saying, quote, most American women hope to marry, but current shortages of marriageable men with a stable job and a good income make this extremely difficult. They say that, according to the study, the dream husband has an average income about 58% higher than the actual unmarried man. And that is why women are choosing to stay single. Now, ladies, I got to ask you, when you look out at the field, are there a lot of uneconomical husband potentials out there?
Question.
Steph?
I'll qualify it by saying these guys don't live in the real world. LA is not the real world.
I have thoughts. Steph, do you have thoughts on this?
I don't know yet.
Okay, here's how I feel. I am banking on myself hardcore. I think I'm going to make enough money for myself and my spouse and my kids and hopefully their kids.
Yep.
That being said, I certainly would need somebody to pull their weight then. So I either have a partner who is not making as much money but literally takes care of everything. You know, I come home to food. They're making sure I'm getting everywhere.
I've set a fine example, have I not?
All of that. So they're chipping in their way.
I'm kidding.
Or they're going out and they're making enough money that I can do my projects. And so it has to, for me,
it's
be one or the other. Yeah, a partnership. what I won't have, because I think what this is referring to, the economically unattractive man, is somebody who is lazy, staying at home, living in their parents' basement still, not because they're taking care of their parents, but because
it's mostly about the work ethic.
Yeah, so for me, it really depends. I don't care if somebody's making less money than I am, but then they got to do something else.
I'm in complete agreement. I've always thought that I would make more money than my future husband, if that's in the case. I don't know if that's happening anymore. But they have to be competent and my equal in another way. They have to be bringing something to the table.
Right. Blessed says, I only have $115 in my bank account. So you got to pitch in other ways, Blessed.
Yeah. Well, again, are you a hard worker? Are you passionate? Are you, you know, like you, everyone has to bring something to the table. Yeah. That's no matter what. And there's just so many people who want a free ride, you know, in life. And those are the ones. Yeah. I see some of my friends get with them as partners. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're with a freaking lame ass bum.
Well, my parents always say the number one thing with their relationship, and they just had their 34th anniversary, is respect. And I don't think you can have respect if there's not an equality factor in the relationship.
Which includes work and passion for work.
In some regard.
I'm really, you know what's horrifying, Rox? I'm starting to think that powerful women, I was talking to our past friend Lauren LaGrasso about this.
Past friend? I think she's a current friend.
Past producer, host of the Tomorrow Show.
Thank you
for correcting me. Hajimoto's. But we were talking about it, and I was saying to her, you know, I'm as older I get, and I watch Marie with all these power women, and seeing Lauren is becoming a power woman, and is a power woman, but she's growing. This is going to horrify you guys. I don't know if those women can have equals. I feel like most of them have beta males who are kind of like slaves and kind of do, I'm sorry to say, like I'm seeing that's usually what works.
So what I was saying
is they have kind of bums who are there and are loyal and kind of run errands and do things like that for them. But it's really hard for two power people to come together. Your parents have figured it out, which is great. But I see a lot of power women who, you know, I don't know. I see them really struggle to have, like, a partner.
I think that, for me, equal might mean something slightly different.
You had an equal, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But that's our beep. We got to get out of here. When I say...
Ryan, find us a better Star Trek sound effect for the next show. Go ahead.
On it.
And also play our outro music, Ryan.
Yes, too. Take us out of orbit.
Thank you. Take us out of orbit. Absolutely. I think that it's less about equal in terms of, like, you're talking about bum. For me, again, like, if they are providing in other ways.
That's it.
It equals such a weird word as I'm defining now. People are like, women want equality. Really, we don't want the exact same thing. We don't want this equal is not the same.
I mean, Shelley Zales, Girls Lounge in Female Quotient says she wants just fairness.
Fairness. So I would like a fair relationship where somebody is bringing enough to the table.
One thing I'll say, listen, wherever you work, whatever your relationship is, I think so much of life is bringing value. If you bring value... And we can all bring value. You know, there's people at AfterBuzz that don't know how to edit or don't have the best eye creatively, but there's other ways to bring value.
Right.
You know, right?
Cleaning,
putting out fires, you know, helping hosts feel better. I mean, this is but do you want to bring that value? Do you want to be humble? And bring, you know, from when Maria exploded, you know, my legs had been chopped off career-wise, and I was the lowest I've ever been in my life, financially, emotionally, even physically. And I just said, okay, but I have to, there's got to be a way I can bring value. So for me, it was, you know, Maria, I'm going to do everything I can, so you just have to focus on being on the microphone. I will do everything else, and then I'll work on, like, your career. Like, I will just do everything I can do to bring value. And, you know, even Maria's parents with us, Maria's dad, you know, we've been, God, we retired them 20 years ago. We've been paying their bills the last 20 years. But guess what? Like, he's given back, and she's, the mother's given back 100 times. Why? Always bringing value. You know, never, you know, always finding ways to help us and take the pressure off us, bail us out. You know, so many times they'd have to fly out here because we were just exhausted and depleted. Like, kids, we got it. Don't worry. You know, if there's a renovation, we got it. We'll handle everything. So, but people forget that. We have family members who, with Maria's mother, who financially can't help. Like, they want to. And I've had to say to them, it does not mean we're not equals. You can bring value, too. We right. bring it with our checkbook, which you should respect because that money was hard-earned. But you can bring equal value. There's other things you can do. You can go pick up prescriptions. You can sit and watch TV with them. You can go to the therapist. There's just a million things you can do. But so much in life, you can bring value. So if you're the guy that doesn't have a lot of money, you know, there's other ways to bring value and make yourself valuable and be able to contribute to a relationship without writing the check.
Agreed. Before we get out of here, quick shout out to Matthew Gold in the Super Chat who said, great show, TTS crew. We appreciate that, Matthew. And we got to go around the room and say our goodbyes.
Yeah,
Kev.
Another marginal effort. Once again, Broxson, I'll take it from here, but hopefully in the next few weeks, you know, you'll be echoing these familiar sentiments. I believe, once again, we've...
No!
We've learned less than nothing.
Don't say that.
I do not believe we've profited in any way, shape, or form.
Especially not during Christmas talk.
But my OCD is kicking in. Michael's shot is, like, way too white. I really think these studios are going to have to get painted a gray color in the back.
I also don't like how we can see this in my shot and yours, just part of
it. What is it, baby doll?
I'll show you afterwards. You can see, like...
We're going to... Once again, that's what we do. We're the crew of the Tomorrow Show. We come, we improve...
We conquer?
We kid ourselves. It's, well, you could take
at
us out.
At Steph Sabra.
Thank you.
With that beautiful wave. It's at the only MC. Oh, how did you get a pen after throwing your first two?
Oh, I got multiple to throw down here.
Nice.
Actually, that's
wow.
it.
Okay, that's three. That's three.
I feel like it's at Ryan Nilsson _.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Wow, really getting there. It's at Roxy Stryer. It's at Undergaro. It's at The Tomorrow Show on Not Sam Network. Guys, we have moved times.
Okay.
And places. Can I tell them where?
Yes.
We have moved to the Not Sam Network on YouTube still, but the AfterBuzz Studios. That's where we will be. We'll be shooting out of the AfterBuzz Studios. We'll still be on Not Sam's YouTube. And we will be at 5 p.m. Pacific time every single Wednesday night. 5 to 7.
Still all about the pithy.
Yeah, well, that has not changed.
No, that has not changed. And, okay, I'm going to ask you guys, please, can you go over to AfterBuzz TV's Christmas 24/7 channel?
Brandy just said that in here. She said, don't forget to watch the Christmas podcast.
Thank you. Brandy,
whose side are you on?
I love you, Brandy.
Whose side
She's
are you on,
She's not on
Brandy?
Anyone's side. You're as bad as the terrorists.
105 days.
We're all in. Thank you, Michael. Yes, next week, I believe Monday, Ryan, we're talking about our next episode of the 6 months of Christmas. We're very excited. We're gonna have more in-depth coverage of the Christmas towns we can purchase, what we'll do if we do purchase them, some of the other Christmas towns that do Christmas year-round. A lot of exciting stuff. We're going to a little Halloween, too, Action Rocks.
Got
to start prepping for that. It's been an exciting time.
I'm into the Halloween.
Please.
Part.
But if you guys can help us. Can you go over to iTunes and give a 5-star rating and a comment at Apple Podcasts, for the Christmas Starts in August podcast? That would just be delightful. That's all I'll say. All right, I'm a bachelor the next week and a half, so I'm going to just be raging.
Okay.
We do have, before we go
slash,
out.
I read it already.
Slash man. Working around the clock and doing fixing things and doing all the other stuff, dirty work I have to do. Anyway, what did you read? Oh, we have to get out of here?
He wanted us to give the super chat to Matthew Gold, but I did.
Oh.
Okay.
Missed it. Yeah. Lost their own pens.
I've stepped on you enough.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
Kev, do you want to tell them what to do until next time?
Yes, until next time, keep Christmas in your heart.
Kevin!
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show.
I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.